board, okay.
I guess what I don't have, we must have left.
Mike, would you like to get us started here, brother? Yeah, those are perfect.
Okay, good.
Lord, we thank you for another opportunity today, Father, to get together and, Father, to listen to your word. And Father, we ask that your word just flows through this class today, Father, and that we just hear you speaking to each and every one of us in an individual manner. We give you all praise and glory. Amen.
Amen, amen. Well, last week we kind of did a macro view, and so I thought we'd kind of do a micro view this time. So we'll kind of break this down. I still don't necessarily feel led to take each and every verse and go down through there. So we can do a micro view, however direction the Lord wants to go, and you all feel led. And then we will see what comes out of it. So I just got a whole bunch of stuff, and as it flows, you know, and that's usually how it works. So I'll go ahead and read this in, I'm going to read it in the Amplified. Since Brenda isn't here, so I'm going to go ahead and read it myself. So unless anybody else has the Amplified, does anybody have it? Buddy, you want to read that loud?
Okay, we'll read it.
85, Psalms 85. Read it real loud so the microphone picks it up.
Okay, this is Psalms 85. Lord, you have at last been favorable and have dealt graciously with your land of Canaan. You have brought back from Babylon the captives of Jacob. You have forgiven and taken away the iniquities of your people. You have covered all their sins. Selah, pause and come realize what that means. You have withdrawn all your wrath and indignation. You have turned away from the blazing anger which you had let loose. Restore us, O God, of our salvation, and cause your anger toward us to cease forever. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger and disfavor and spread it out to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy and loving kindness, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will listen with expectancy to what God the Lord will say, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints, those who are in right standing with him. But let him not turn again to self-confident and foul. Surely his salvation is near to those who reverently and worshipfully fear him, and is ready to be appropriated, that the manifest presence of God, his glory, may tabernacle and abide in our land. Mercy and loving kindness and truth have been together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring from the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness shall go before him and shall make his footsteps a way which to walk.
Okay. All right. Thanks, buddy. Like we said last week, you can look at Scripture any way you want to look at it and make whatever you want to make of it. And, you know, you can look at it from this God that's, you know, a hard taskmaster and everything has to be in place where he's going to be angry or whatever and strike you down, which, you know, this group, of course, not one of us, you know, look at it that way. In fact, in the Amplified, it says that this psalm is a prayer for God's mercy upon a nation. And so when you look at, you know, when you look at this whole 85 as a whole, we serve a very loving, kind, merciful God. And, you know, you just, you know, as we go down through here, we don't have to take any special order. If any, you know, I know you had mentioned last week that you love verse 10. I mean, we're not taking any order here. So just whatever jumps out off the page at you that you feel the Lord wants you to share, just share it. You know, there's a lot in this psalm. I mean, it's just loaded with stuff. I mean, you can sit there and do word studies like crazy, but The biggest thing I wanted to talk about, and I'll get it started, and then I want you guys, I want this to be more you than me. So, but the biggest thing that really jumped out to me, and it put me on a word search, was the word forgive in the Old Testament and forgive in the New Testament. Very interesting. Very, very, very interesting. In the Old Testament, it's 53:75. It doesn't matter what verse it is, because again, we're taking this as a whole, so I'm not going to give a verse. But when you look up the 53:75, which is what comes up when you look at the what is it, verse 2? Is that where it says forgive?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is the primitive root. It's not a word with a bunch of other root words. It is a primitive root. And this is interesting because, you know, when you hear the New Testament, it becomes a lot more interesting. But the word forgive in the Old Testament is to lift, to bear up, to carry, to take, to bear, to support, sustain, to endure. Now you can see this is not the New Testament word forgiveness that I'm describing here. I mean, it's really interesting. To be lifted up. I mean, there's a lot of good with this word too, because you're going to see there's a lot of scriptures that talk about to be lifted up, to lift oneself up, I'm reminded, I don't know if it's the right word for this, but where David encouraged himself, you know, in the Lord. And of course, if we humble ourselves, he will lift us up. So it's not like us lifting or exalting ourselves. But anyway, and it goes on to say, rise up. So, you know, but the thing that really got my attention was, you know, to carry, you know. The New Testament says, don't carry those burdens. Don't carry that stuff, you know, that garbage, that stuff that needs to be taken to the curb and taken away. Let's just go to this one scripture, which I thought was interesting. Wasn't the original sin, but it was one of the early sins. Was in Genesis 4:13, it's about Cain, and it says, and Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. So, I mean, even back that early, Cain needed a savior, man. I mean, that's all there is to it. Cain needed Jesus. And Cain knew that there was no way he could bear the sin of murdering his brother, his only brother maybe at the time, Abel. And so, you know, he says, man, Lord, I can't bear this. I can't carry this. I can't let this burden just overwhelm me. And that's what it was doing. And so that word bear is the same word as forgiveness, or forgive in that second verse or whatever. So we can go back to that. I want to go back to that. But let me just hit you with the New Testament. With the New Testament, wow. You know, it's 8:63 in the New Testament. I love this. It says, to send away, to give up, to keep no longer.
Amen.
To keep no longer. I mean, that's freedom. That's, you know, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And that's freedom right there. When you can just, you mess up, oh Lord, I messed up, I repent, and then you give it up. You let it go away and never come back again. To leave so
that's
that. That's salvation. Absolutely, yeah. To leave so that what is left may remain. Woohoo! What's left? Jesus. That's all that's left. You know, we decrease, he increases, and he's what's left. That when we're completed in him, what's going to be left? Jesus. Nothing but Jesus. 100% Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's see. And I like, again, this is just another way of that Thayer's or whatever put it, to go away leaving something behind. If you're leaving it behind, it's in your rearview mirror, and you're going as far away from that as you possibly can. So if we could just get to a point where nothing is baggage in our life, nothing. We don't carry any of that garbage. We don't care.
Leaving
those things behind, reaching forward for the prize of the high calling. That's our prize of the high calling is being free in Christ. And he is increasing in us, and all that garbage is being taken to the curb, and Remke's coming and getting it, you know. And when they take your garbage, do you have any idea where it goes? It goes to a heap.
It goes to hell.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, Sheol. Yeah, Sheol or whatever. Yeah, absolutely.
Burn is one of the definitions I've got for the Old Testament.
Oh, that's good. Uh-huh. That's really good. Okay.
A footnote in Amplified in the Old Testament you just read in 13 said some ancient versions read too great to be forgiven. And Cain was.
Yeah, it was too much for him to bear. Yeah. And then the last thing I'll say about the New Testament word forgive is to, and this is interesting because you can, when you talk to some people, you can see this, what I'm about to say, you can see this in their life. It says to leave one by not taking him as a companion. That thing that you're carrying around has so been with you maybe for decades. The old man, you're carrying that old man around and like a companion, like, you know, familiar, it's familiar to you or whatever, and it just needs to go. And I like this because that same word, forgive, in Matthew 5:24 says, you know, you've heard this scripture a million times, but it'll have different, you'll have a different perspective on it. It says, leave there thy gift before the altar. And go thy way first to be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. So the word leave means you lay it down and you take off. Now that's a different perspective of what we're talking about, but it's still the whole point of leaving. We tend to leave it and then go pick it back up. You know, we leave it over here and then we go over here, but man, we find ourselves just veering back over there and just picking that thing up again, you know, and it's like, why? We all do it. We've all done it. Why? Huh?
It says in, is it Revelation, he shall go no more out, and I will ride upon him. We won't be going in and out to go pick it back up.
There you go. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, just a couple scriptures, and then we're going to open this up. The thing I do like about the Old Testament word forgiveness is it's lift up. And in the word lift up, there's a lot of good stuff that comes from that. That may not be specifically about forgiveness, but lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. And guess what happens? The King of Glory comes. So. And then in Psalms 25:1, and I love this song, and it's like, I don't know why this song just, y'all have songs that just, in the middle of the night you wake up and there's a song. Mm-hmm. This song has been on me for probably 3 or 4 months, and there's other songs too. Unto me, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. When you leave it, let it stay there and never return back to it, guess what? You've triumphed over that enemy. That enemy's done, gone, to never come back, unless you want to go pick it up. God's already taken care of it. Those things are as far away from you as the east is from the west. Mm-hmm. Thrown in the sea of forgetfulness. The only way it ever comes back up is if we dredge it back up. That's the only way. God's forgotten about it. What are you talking about? Why are you, what? I've already forgiven that. And his forgiveness is final. There's no conditions. There's no nothing. I mean, yeah, you have to repent, but.
Yeah, it is.
Huh? Exactly. So, anyway. The one thing, if we could go to Matthew 9, and then I'll shut up. Matthew 9 I love because it says, and Jesus, getting into a boat, crossed over the Sea of Galilee and came to Capernaum, his own city. This is in the Amplified. They brought him to a man who was paralyzed, lying on a stretcher. Seeing their active faith, I like that, springing from confidence in him, Jesus said to the paralytic, "Do not be afraid, son. Your sins are forgiven." And in the Amplified, I love it. It says, "The penalty is paid. The guilt is removed." Oh, man. "And you are now declared to be in right standing with God." And some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man blasphemes by claiming the rights and prerogatives of God." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, that's funny, I love that, knowing their thoughts, they didn't say a word, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven and the penalty paid, or to say, get up and walk? Both are possible for God, both are impossible for man. But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority and power on earth to forgive sins," then he said to the paralytic, "Get up, pick up your stretcher, and go home." And he got up and went home, healed and forgiven. Yeah. And when the crowd saw this, they were awestruck and glorified God and praised him who had given such authority and power to men. I think in one of those verses, they were all upset because it was on the Sabbath. You know, oh boy, you did this on the Sabbath. Shame on you. Shame. But what? You helped someone and you're a bad guy and they wanted to go kill him after stuff like this. You know, it's like, anyway, okay. That's all I have for that. Anybody have any thoughts on any of that?
When they talked about on the Sabbath, he also brought that little parable to them about if you had like an animal of yours, that who would not go, go free and help it. And then he's letting them know, here I helped, heal, a person. And if you're going to be angry about that.
We are blessed. We are blessed that, our pattern son, the pattern son Jesus Christ, showed us the way. He is the way. So praise the Lord. And then Mark 11:25 says, "And when ye stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father, which also in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses." I don't know what else you need. If you need any more than that scripture right there to forgive, you need to really start doing some searching there inside and figure out what's blocking stuff, that should be coming out of you and through you. Because, man, who wants God not to forgive you? I mean, come on. My goodness gracious. That is the ultimate, to be free in Christ. Not have to sit there and have that guilt and condemnation and all this self stuff that we throw on each other, being missing the mark, making it such a big deal. Hey, we missed the mark. Okay, it is a big deal in a way, but it's not a big deal in a way, if that makes any sense at all. We just, if if we were able to not miss the mark, then guess what? We wouldn't need Jesus. So we, you know, we need Jesus, and we need him badly. And it seems like when we do miss the mark is when we really press into him and just really appreciate the amazing grace that he's given us and the ability to be able to be free in him by just saying, Lord, I missed the mark. I mean, I repent. I missed the mark. I messed up. But you know what? You're faithful and just to forgive me of my sins, and that blood just cleanses me completely and totally to a point where I can be fresh and brand new and start all over again. Clean slate. You know, nothing holding me back, no burdens on my shoulders that I have to carry around, and no penance that I have to do or Hail Marys or whatever. You know, I don't have to do any of that stuff. I'm free in Christ. That really, you know, I'll say this, and maybe I'm offline, but even if you don't say forgive me, he forgives you. You know?
Where there is no law, there is no sin.
There you go.
And he took the law at Calvary. Do we miss the mark? Yes. But I think the harder you try and press into know the Lord, the more the trials seem to come.
Mm-hmm.
So,
true.
You know, there's got to be those testings, especially if you're pressing in. But there is no law. And then we can't put that one on us anymore. You know, it's been defeated totally. And God's people really have no need to walk in any condemnation at all, period.
Yeah. I was talking to a guy Friday with Tom Kadenkamp at a Bible study, and this guy had been a pastor for like 10, 12 years. And Lord was moving this guy. And both Tom and I were able to speak over him, and it was exactly what the Lord had been telling him, and that's separation and alignment. Separate from, I mean, he was in the, what do you call it, Word of Faith? Is that what that movement was with Copeland and Hagin and all that? Is that called Word? Whatever he called it. He called it something, but it was very important to him, you can tell. It was a doctrine or a belief that was very, very...
Idol.
Huh?
Become an idol.
Well, it has, and that's the whole point of what I'm saying here, because some of his buddies in the same movement or whatever, you know, got into philosophy. They got into a bunch of different stuff, and it was really troubling him.
That's good.
It is. Yeah. And that's what I told him.
Yeah,
I said, that's a great thing to happen, yeah, because now you, Lord has allowed you to see it,
yeah,
and be able to say, oh, that just doesn't feel right, doesn't look right, and it's not right, you know. And so he talked to the gentleman and said, and you might even know the name. He's well known in Cincinnati. You might even know the name. That's how, I mean, he's been a pat. This guy that he's talking to has been a pastor for probably 30 years. So, I mean, he's pretty well known in the Cincinnati area. And he decided to go to some school and get a philosophy degree. Deb laughed, but apparently this guy really felt that this was something that was important for him to do. And this other guy that Tom and I were with, it was like, we were just basically confirming the word that the Lord had given him, and that's separate. And sometimes you have to get away from people, things, whatever. He was trying, you know, sometimes I think we try to fluff and buff the old man to make him look like Christ, you know. And so that is what I felt that some of these people he was hanging around was trying to do, you know. But it all came down to God was moving him into a much deeper thing. And he basically quit becoming a pastor. He was a pastor 10, 12 years, and the Lord just basically took it from him. I don't think he laid it down willingly. I think somehow he didn't get into any detail. But now the Lord's starting to really move, and he's starting to really see these things that, you know, that he had not seen before. And it was really, and light. I mean, he was like a little kid. I mean, he was so excited about what the Lord was doing in his life, and that stuff that, you know, we've kind of, I'm not saying this to brag, that's by any stretch, but it's stuff that we've been walking in for years and years and years. Some of you have been walking in it for 40 years, you know. But it was his timing, and it's all in God's timing. But it was just interesting to see all this, because sometimes at Wings we get, we're so like-minded here that we don't realize what the body of Christ is doing out there in some cases, you know. But I guess you could turn on the TV or turn on the radio and you'll find out. But, but anyway, it was just interesting. And this guy is so excited about what God is bringing him into. And he's just got a renewed fire. And
he's got life flowing again.
And he's aligning himself with people with that life, you know, that can help him do some. But anyway, it was really, really a neat thing. He texted me yesterday and just said, you know, oh man, what a time we had in the Lord on Friday. You know, I mean, you could just see that he was really revived and whatever. So,
well, one thing about it is that Scripture says he hides these things from the wise and the prudent, and he reveals them unto the babes. This is not something that you can go to seminary and get. This is not something that you can get all the books in the world and read them and get. This is something about relationship with God, and it has to come down to that personal relationship. And, you know, all the philosophical things there is out there, even the philosophers, to a certain extent, realized that there was a lot of things they didn't know. You know, even in the book of Acts, when Paul was standing around, I think Mars Hill or someplace or wherever he was, he said, even your poets, and he was talking about the philosophers, even your philosophers basically knew that we were offspring of God. You know, we were children of God. And, you know, it's one of these things that, you know, you can't figure this thing out by education. You can't figure it out by philosophy. The best thing you can possibly do is confess that you're but a baby, and that, Lord, I don't know anything other than what you tell me, you know. Because I tell you, all of the religious jargon that's out there, all the religious rigmarole, it isn't gonna bring you to a relationship with him. No. It's just not. And
but don't you think that ultimately the Lord uses all that anyway?
Sure he does.
To bring people to themselves.
He uses it to where you come to the realization that you don't know anything. Yeah. And that's what it really amounts now to. The majority of people who are very super educated in the Lord, I mean, you know, in education out there, think that they have all the answers, or they want to make you think they have all the answers, and they in reality, they know they don't really have the answers, because there is but one answer. Christ in your life, with the Spirit of God working in you. But one other thing I was going to say is concerning that word of forgiveness, in that second verse, forgave. In Brown Driver lexicon, you know, I like what he said there. He said it was to lift, to take away, and to carry, you know. But he also said that it was to carry away of the wind. Like that. Mm-hmm. Because if you go into a lot of places where it's talking about the Lord and it mentions him, it will say a baffling wind. You know, a baffling wind. Mm-hmm. That's a wind that blows where you don't know where it came from, which way it's going. That's, and it says that up in the New Testament when you get into it. You know, the Spirit of God is like a wind. You don't know where it came from. You only see the effect of it. Mm-hmm. And you know, even in the Old Testament, God was showing his grace, his mercy, and his love when they prayed like this, you know, that he did forgive their iniquities and he did take them away. But the problem was is that they couldn't come to the realization that they'd been totally taken away forever. It was a right now thing, what the thing they did yesterday. That's the way they looked at it, as they took the sacrifices in and the different things like that. But even in the Psalms, you can see that the Psalms were inspired by the Holy Spirit, that even in them, they were talking about, you know, you cover all the sins not a few of the sins, not just the sins of today, but all of the sins. So prophetically speaking, they were speaking of something that was about to happen, you know. And I don't think they even really realized what they were saying when they said it, you know. But, you know.
I think, too, on that, on the difference in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we talk about forgiveness. I know it's in Hebrews somewhere. I can't find it right now. I just started, if I wanted to read it, but paraphrase it. Paul was talking about the sacrifices and how, it would cleanse them for 1 year, but it never cleansed the consciousness. And he said that what Jesus Christ has done, not only do we remember, but he cleanses our consciousness of sin. We just don't feel like sinners anymore.
Right.
In the Old Testament, they knew it was just covered over for a year or whatever, a certain period of time. But Paul says, but now we should have no consciousness of sin. It's gone, eradicated, totally.
Gone.
Yeah.
Once and for all.
So we can forgive ourselves now.
And the only ones that seem to keep judging it up are the pastors in the pulpits. I mean, see, when you think about it, I mean, not here, but I mean, when you think about it, I mean, I've been to, I know you were raised in church. Some of you were raised in wings pretty much all your life. I've been to a lot of different churches out there. And,
well, actually, I wasn't raised in church.
Well, no, but what I'm saying, and I wasn't speaking specifically to you, but I'm just saying that you've probably not been to a whole bunch of different churches that one time I was seeking. You know, I was out there. Well, I'll go over to this church, I'll go over to that church, whatever. And, I mean, some of the things you hear is just amazing. I mean, it's like contrary to what we're talking about here today.
One of the things, and I think that's where God's going to bring some people forth who have never known the Lord, have no religious background, because, to be honest with you, I went to church a little bit when I was a little boy, real small boy with my mother. But after I was about 9 or 10 years old, I kind of quit going. And I thank God that I didn't go to church. Now, that's a bad thing to say, because I didn't have to unlearn a bunch of stuff. When I started seeking the Lord, I started telling the Lord, you're going to have to teach me. You're going to have to lead me. You're going to have to guide me. I don't know what this is I'm reading. I don't understand this. And I believe that when you approach him like that, then the Holy Spirit is the teacher. He's the teacher. And so many times we think, well, what if I could just get so-and-so's book or this or that or, and what ends up happening is you go down a rabbit trail, and it can be a true rabbit trail to a certain extent, but it all always, if it's not totally directing you to him and to that personal relationship, you're going to veer off somewhere. And that's what's basically happening, what you said was happening to that man. He got into philosophy and everything else. Well, this is not a philosophical thing. It's all about relationship. It's about the grace of God, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God, like you're saying. The Lord spoke to my heart years ago and told me that forgiveness was the life's blood of the body of Christ. And that's exactly what it is. Forgiveness is that life's blood. And that's the only way you receive that life's blood is through his forgiveness, what he did on Calvary. And that's why we can never get away from the cross. We can never get away from what Jesus did. You know, that foundation always has to be there. And it's the power of God, And sometimes we preach deeper truths and we don't mention the cross as much as we should at times, to be honest with you.
That's true.
But we really can't get away from that. That's where the blood came from, that cross. but that blood cleanses, that cross, that sacrifice he made. That's the ultimate sacrifice. It only had to be done one time, and it never has to be done again. And all of creation was forgiven. They just don't know it. And our thing is to get out there and tell them. And we're not telling them enough,
Yeah, I mean, you look at how blessed we are. I mean, they would go into the mercy seat. The mercy seat and the throne of God are one and the same. And it's right here. I mean, that's how blessed we are. We're that mercy seat that the high priest could only go in one time a year for the Day of Atonement. And only one person was ordained to go in there. The veil was rent. And some people want to put that veil back up. We don't, but I'm just saying, and I'm not getting on people, because God has to show them just like he showed us. So it's not, you know, one thing I told Brother Eddie, I don't know if you all remember this or not, but it really stuck with me. He said something about, you know, if a blind man or woman was sitting at the back of the auditorium, you know, with their white cane or whatever, man, you would go out of your way to help that person to the pew, because they're blind. They don't know if they're in chairs or a pew, if they're in guests, you know, never been here before. There's not a person I look around the room here that wouldn't stop everything, grab them by the arm, and lead them, right? Well, the spiritual blind is the same. We can't sit there and judge someone because they're spiritually blind, just like we can't judge someone who's blind naturally and say, go on down to pew 3 or something, you know, go on down to the fourth pew and sit down, you know. You don't, you know, no. So they need to be led. Just the same way that, and so we need to be leading. Lord, who do you want us to lead to Christ today? You know, and when you're leading them to Christ, you're leading them to that relationship that Brother Oscar's talking about, because that's the only thing that's important, is the relationship. And so that stuck with me with Brother Eddie when he said that. It made so much sense that we sometimes go, you know, this denomination or this, whatever, this even religion outside of Christianity, will sit there, how could they, because they're spiritually blind. Praise the Lord that you know, your blindness is not that strong, I guess, or whatever you want to call it. I mean, we see a little clearer, and not to exalt ourselves, because we definitely have no reason to exalt ourselves, but we're blessed. We're blessed. Tremendously blessed. Sure.
You know, one time, and I've shared it before, but the Lord gave him a message, and he emphasized it by a tree in our backyard. I thought it was a weed that grew in the backyard. It was Martin's job to weed the back flower bed, and I was out there, and I pulled it up, and I broke it, and I threw it down. And she came out on the deck, and she was hollering at me. She said, what are you doing? I said, what do you mean? She said, you broke my tree. I said, your tree, that thing looked like a weed to me. She said, it's my tree, it grows real fast, you know, and she went on and on. But the funny thing was, Brother Eddie had asked me to speak the week before, to speak that week, and the Lord had given me some scriptures, and one of the scriptures he had given me is, my people perish for lack of vision, you know, basically was one of them. And the other one was, he had given me the scripture about the blind man and how Jesus had anointed the eyes of the blind man. And he said, what do you see? And he said, I see men walking about as trees. And he said, he anointed him again, I guess, and he said, now what do you see? He said, I see every man clearly. And until we come to the place where we see every man as a fruit-bearing tree, I don't care what they look like, what they're doing, what they are, we do not see every man clearly. And it wasn't a mistake, and it wasn't by chance that that happened. That happened because God was bringing forth a tremendous truth, until we see every man as a tree. And when we sing that song, Thank God I'm a Tree Planted by Living Waters, you know, and my leaves shall not wither. And we know that in Revelation it says the leaves of the trees on both sides of the river, the crystal river that came from the throne. And like Rich said, you're the throne. It's going to come, and the throne's inside of you. As God sits inside of you, it's going to flow out of you. And the trees on either side of the river, they were given, the leaves of them, it bore 12 manner of fruit, and the leaves were for the healing of the nation. And what are the leaves? What do leaves signify? Leaves signify life. If a tree don't have any leaves on it, and it's springtime, and it's summertime, guess what? That thing's dead. You better cut it down, because it ain't alive. So leaves signify life. And when we begin to show people the way to life, it's going to bring healing to the nations. Yes. And that's what this thing's all about. It's not about, you know, how smart we are, or what we can figure out, or whatever. It's all about us realizing that even that tree was on both sides of the crystal stream. Well, I got news for you. Usually when there's two sides, there's a crossing over, you know what I mean? So even on this side of the veil, we have to show people the leaves, and we have to show them the 12 manners of fruit, which is the governmental perfection of God. And that governmental perfection is that he's in control. He's got it all in control. He's paid the price. It's all been taken care of. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to, like you said, do a bunch of penance or anything like that. It's all been taken care of. We need to, until people come to the realization of that, but we got to see every man as a tree.
Yes.
And then once we do that, we will see every man clearly. But until then, we don't see him clearly.
So in other words, some of those weeds that we see that we're mowing down could quite possibly be a tree.
They are a tree. It's not. They are a tree. in the natural out there, when we're talking about people.
Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, "For Jesus is the Savior of all men, even to them, especially to them that believe."
Yeah.
He's the Savior of all men, right. Especially to them that believe.
That's right. That's good. Yeah. And I love what you said about the leaves being a healing to the nations. Mm-hmm. And what nations are we talking about? Denominations? Mm-hmm. Discrimination? You know, I mean, condemnation. I mean, these nations need to be healed.
Yes, they do.
And when they're healed, this world changes. This world changes. Mm-hmm. You know, all the stuff that's going on in this country will change when those leaves come in contact with these nations.
Amen.
What a wonderful world we're going to see, you know.
I think what God's doing right now is he's renting the veil on us. He's renting the veil on us. There's a lot of new stuff that's coming forth that's old stuff. I notice how everyone's starting to kind of look back to the cross and the blood and stuff like that. It's just that the Lord is starting to re-accentuate all that again. Because I think the church was there at one time, but then I think we strayed away from it in the deeper stuff and doctrines and theology. But I feel like the Lord is, the new wine that's coming is the Lord saying, it's the old wine. I'm just bringing it back and accentuating what many of you have slipped away from. And, you know, it's all good.
It is.
It's all good.
The Lord showed me exactly what you're saying a few years back. I mean, honestly. And really, I felt like we were going to revisit all of the old doctrines that people were putting out there. But the difference was is that when they looked at them, they looked at them with childlike faith, but they also had childlike wisdom. And we're going to go back and revisit them. We're going to look at them with childlike faith, but with manlike wisdom. Because a child will believe anything you tell them. If you tell them you could jump over this building, they'll probably believe you. You know, whether you can do it or not, my dad can do everything. You know, how many times you ever can say that? You know, but, you know, That's we're going to revisit a lot of these. That's why you're hearing all these messages about grace, and that's why you're going to hear messages about faith. You're going to hear messages about a lot of things, but it's going to be looked at from a total different perspective
through
of what
eyes.
It was.
Yeah,
yeah, through a different perspective. Yeah. Yeah. Looking from a higher perspective and a lower perspective. You know,
and that's been the word we've been hearing for the past few years. Come up here.
Yeah.
Come up here.
Right.
You know. It's fascinating, really, what God's doing all throughout the world.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, that was the word that I got for that guy.
Yeah, well, that's what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Amen. Okay, Deb, you want to pray?
Father God, please thank you and praise you. You're so good to us. Lord Jesus, you promise in the truth, the light. Lord, let us walk in it from this creation every day, Father, with your presence that's been revealed in us. Amen.
Thanks for
all your help. We have our veterans.